Wednesday, March 3rd. Life is lived these days against a backdrop of airstrikes in Vietnam by our planes. Attacks on our embassies. This week it's the one in Moscow, with stones and ink bottles by mobs of students and dissidents. And a rising murmur of the press here in Washington about secretiveness or not enough press conferences. But we still read that more than 80% of the people approve of the record Lennon is making. It's sort of like shooting the rapids. Every moment a new struggle, every moment a new direction, trying to keep the craft level and away from the rocks, and no still water in sight. This morning I had a conference with Virginia Rusk, Bess, and Liz about the possible trip to Virginia, on which we might take all of the diplomatic corps, some 110 women. I am going down to Abingdon, Virginia in May to award an honor to Roger Stevens at the Barter Theater. And we've thought about taking all the ladies of the corps on a bus through the beautiful Virginia countryside, lunch at Monticello, talks along the way on colonial American history, and then see a play and spend the night in Abingdon. It is I who have cold feet. Liz and Bess are ready and willing to work and could, no doubt, do it beautifully. I find Mrs. Rusk as timid as I. Perhaps the word is just more knowledgeable about the pitfalls we may encounter. The upshot of it was that after an hour and a half's talk, I said it was too much to tackle, but let's do explore the possibilities of getting to know the ladies of the Corps in some more informal and intimate matter than just a handshake and a cup of tea. Then, the next part of the day was decorating with Mrs. Smith, who came with more samples. We made decisions on all the lovely fabrics for the West Hall, and they are a delight to the eye. And then Lucy had a private session with her while I did some desk work, and Lucy emerged confident, pleased with her choices, quite able to paint a picture of what she wanted. And Mrs. Smith apparently quite able to provide fabrics, paint, and flooring to achieve the dream that Lucy has. She all but wants a fireplace and pine panel walls in that open, glassed solarium. Then we went over to the president's waiting room, which is drab and doleful. It needs color and personality. Mementos of the man one is waiting to see in the room beyond. Evidence that this is really the waiting room of the President of the United States. A little of the weight of history on the walls around. I had had two desks of the vintage of Theodore Roosevelt brought over from the warehouse, and a tall bookcase of the same period. We hope to inherit the bright red rug in Lyndon's office for color when he gets a new one with a seal. We rehung pictures and rearranged furniture, and emerged quite pleased with ourselves and with Mrs. Smith's professional touch. Horace Busby and Bill Walton had joined us. Bill is fresh, enthusiastic, easy to know, at least on the surface. This went on until about 3:30, and then I had to make a break to go, of all things, to the circus. Ringling Brothers had invited 6,000 district children who have hardly had a chance to see a circus before, and they had invited me, and I was delighted to go because I wanted to say thank you to them for that generosity to all these youngsters. The children had come in buses and station wagons and on foot from settlement homes and nurseries and churches and elementary schools, all of them selected by the United Givers Fund to attend the show. Two clowns led me to my seat, and I found myself between Joyce Wathen, a bubbly little blonde, and Tawana Johnson, a quiet, decorous, well-mannered little Negro. And in a sea of children, about three-fourths of them Negro. Later, I read in the paper, during the show, Mrs. Johnson sat among them, remarkably unattended by her aides or by the press. That was true of my aides. Jerry was practically invisible somewhere behind me, and Liz nowhere to be seen. But the press and TV, with a forest of cameras, were right in front of me. When I saw how pleased Joyce was at the thought of getting her picture made with me, I thought even that was a good idea. Presently, they disappeared, press that is, and I enjoyed the greatest show on earth with a very appreciative audience for 2 hours. Ataria hung by short rope on the top of the tent and did 100 body turns. And the poodles and Scotties in the dog and pony show were cuddly and saucy. And the children enjoyed the cotton candy. Everyone got a cone full, almost as much as they enjoyed what they saw. Well, it's a funny thing to regard as a part of the duties of a first lady, but it had its use. Back home at the White House, I was unsuccessful. in prying Lyndon from his office. So I settled down in front of a fire in my bedroom to read mail and a book, The Odd Ways, by William Humphrey. Dinner at 11 on a tray. Thank goodness Zephyr had gone. In bed by midnight.